Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today as we take our walk through the strange Paradiso. I want to share a couple of things with you, but first of all, I want to tell you the story about today when I went to go get our taxes done, okay? So it's a tragedy, I'm telling you. So I went to go get our taxes done, and I was sure that we were going to have to pay, but the amount that we end up owing is something that I was not ready for. So anyhow, when I was leaving to go there, like in the morning, I was kind of stuffed up for whatever reason. Not sick, but like allergy, because that place where I work, the forced air system that's in there, it stuffs me up. I'll be in there for a few hours, and then all of a sudden, I'll get stuffed up. So what happened was, when I came home from work and into this morning, I was still stuffed up. You know, when you can hear yourself talk in your ears, like, and hear yourself breathe and stuff like that. So I was like that. It's very annoying. And so I just figure, well, I don't know what to do about it. I guess I'll just chew gum or whatever. So I go in there to get our taxes done. And when I heard the amount, okay, my stuffiness went away. It's like it shocked the stuffiness out of me. It's like, how in the world do we owe so much money? You know, we're just like couple of regular working people. We're not making all these millions of dollars, but yet the amount that we owe would say to someone that we're just making like a ton of money. So I don't know. I'm thinking about, I just may have to quit. You know, the job that I was telling you guys about, how I have to work my tail off there and how, I really dislike it. Well, I may just have to leave that place. And I have a feeling that my husband's going to say, you know, you need to quit that job because it's almost like counterproductive. The amount that we have to owe is kind of like not worth me working there if we're going to have to pay this much. So I'm ready for that. I'm ready for him to say something like that. And you know what? It would actually, I think, work out okay because that's not the only job I've got. So I would have more time to read and research and things like this so that I could share more things, more interesting things with you guys. Okay, so I'm just going to see what happens. I probably won't know until Friday because he works tomorrow. I work tomorrow. So we're not going to have a whole lot of time to talk about this. So anyways, just wanted to share that with you. Yeah, I was like grabbing onto the sides of the chair and I told the tax prepare woman, I mean, she's been doing our taxes for like 25 years or something like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to hang on to the sides of this chair, okay, before you tell me the news. So, okay, let's move on now. I have heard not a lot, but quite a few stories from people in certain parts of the world, okay? Now, this is a story that is actually from someone who was stationed in an area kind of like in the Middle East, okay? And so they had their, I don't know what you call it. It's not like there were barracks or anything where they were at. So they were kind of like out in the field, okay? So they're in this foreign country in kind of like in the Middle East. And this is like maybe about 4 years ago. And he said that they would, you know how like there has to be someone who stays awake at night. There always has to be someone like to keep watch and this and that. Some other people would sleep. There'd be one or two people awake. They'd kind of like take turns. Then other people would wake up and then they would take watch and then the other two would go to sleep and so on. So they had, you know, they did this rotation. And off in the distance, they would see different type of things. They would see movement and it's a flat area. There are no, I mean, there are hills and mountains, but from where they could see this movement, there was nothing obstructing their view. They could see clearly out there, even though it was night, even though it was dark, there was still some light coming from like the stars and sometimes even the moon and things like that. And he says he saw movement and he would see like a little bit of light, like something was reflecting the moonlight. That, you know, something on the ground, something moving, maybe wearing a piece of jewelry or something that seemed to be catching the moonlight every so often. And then that's what he would see. So one of the other guys said, I keep seeing like something shiny in the distance. Do you see that? And he said, yeah, I've been watching that for about the last 10 minutes. And it looked like it was approaching them. Now, granted, in some of these areas, there are the desert dwellers. There are people out there who are like roam the deserts, okay? There are Bedouins. There are people out there who they just are travel, okay? And they're out there at any given time of year. So what ends up happening is a woman approaches where they are. Finally, this woman, okay, as she gets closer, they realize that, okay, that looks like a woman. They say she looked to be middle age, and she approached them, and then when she got close enough to them, she got like her two fingers, and she started like tapping on her wrist like she wanted to know what time it was. They said that's the only thing that we could think of. The way she was tapping on her wrist, like where somebody would wear a watch, like she wants to know what time it is. And how are we going to tell her what time it is? Because we don't speak whatever language she speaks. So the one guy gets like his arm and shows her his watch. And then she taps on his watch and then she just makes this head gesture. And then she starts walking away back to like where she came from. So anyways, they just kind of like thought it was kind of freaky, but okay, you know, no big deal. We know there are people out there. So it happened again. It didn't happen to them the next time. It happened to another two. And this was like a couple of days later. And then they heard more reports about there was a woman who would come at night. Not every night, but periodically. In different areas, okay, not only to their camp, but to other camps as well. So one of the people who was there, like embedded with them, who was a native of this country, said, I mean, he called it by some name, okay? He says he knows what that is, and he called it by a name. It wasn't a jinn, it was something else, all right, that he called it and said that you're not supposed to communicate with it. Like by communicating with it, it's not going to go away from you. It's going to follow you wherever you go. It's going to like, kind of like a curse, okay? So, all right, then now they know that they're not supposed to communicate with this thing and what have you. So she goes to a camp that's not too far from the guy who was telling this story. And it's always about the same time of night. So they can actually hear like people yelling and people talking. So this guy, the native of that country, all right, he gets in like whatever, a Jeep, whatever, okay, with a couple of guys, and they drive over there to that area where he confronts that woman who he says really is not a woman at all. So story goes that this woman, because I guess he starts saying something, he starts praying or saying something, and this woman let out this ear piercing. He said it rattled my heart. It didn't. He said, it didn't make my heart like pound. It didn't do anything like that. It rattled. He said, my whole being, my whole like body, I was just rattled with this scream. And she ran off. Now, it was dark, okay? It was nighttime, and there are hills in the area. She ran off towards the hills, but he said she didn't just run off like a person. She ran off like if you were fast-forwarding a video. She ran faster than a human would be able to run. So after all this, okay, and everything settles down, they're planning on going into those hills, going into that hillside the next day or as soon as they could to take a look and see if and how many people are living in there. Because even though she seemed to be able to scoot faster than humanly possible, they still had to look at it as if it was a real person. It was just, you know, they just, because of the darkness, maybe because of the light, very little light, they thought she ran faster than possible. So the next day, when they get a chance, there were like a couple of guys plus the one guy who was from this country, from the country that they were in. They got together and they were going to go up and check it out. Check out the hillsides, see if there was maybe some people who lived there, see what's going on, see who this woman was who kept coming down, even though the one guy said it was not a person. I know what this thing is, but you know, these guys are like, no, we're going to go see. There's something to this because she came down every night. How do you explain that scream, this and that? Well, you know, they made like, because people, okay, we tend to do these kind of things. We tend to second guess ourselves and create a scenario to explain things away. And that's what they were doing. No, it was just because it was quiet. It was nighttime. And so it freaked us out and so on and so on. Even though the guy who's telling this story says, it shook me. He said, I've never heard anything like this. Even in any of the movies, any of the creepy movies, he said, I have never heard anything like this. So anyhow, they get a couple guys, they go up there and they're looking around. They cannot find anything. There is no sign of life up there. I mean, except for like critters, you know, but there are no people up there. But there's one guy, and he didn't go up there, okay, with the group to go and check out the hillsides and all this stuff. But he saw in the dirt, not footprints, but they were tracks of some kind of animal. And it almost looked like the feet like of a turkey, but it was bigger. There were two. Okay, you know, turkey walks on 2 feet. And he said, these look like turkey tracks, but they're bigger, they're wider, and they were pretty deep. And it went all the way into the hillside. So this guy follows it all the way to where the other group is up there checking out the hills and all of this stuff and looking in any of the draws. And he says, come here and take a look at this. Now, once he realized and saw these things, even though it had been like a couple of days and, you know, it happened so many days ago in some of the different areas, there were still remnants of these type of tracks in many of the other areas where this supposed woman had been. What is that? All right. Now, that is pretty much the end of this particular story. And the person who witnessed this says, there was nothing else that happened like this. Like, we didn't see this thing again. This didn't happen again, because whatever it was that the guy had said drove this thing away. He said it was like this thing was wounded by the words that, I'm going to call him the guide, okay, that the guide said. And it drove, those words drove this thing away. And he said, you know, when you stop to think about the tracks, he said, we didn't notice any type of strange looking appendages. It looked like a woman. So he, in his thinking, he's wondering, did this thing start changing because of the words that the guide had said? Maybe whatever, if he was saying prayers or whatever, did this thing start to change into its true form? And that's why there were tracks there in certain areas? Or did it always have those tracks and it just never occurred to them? They just don't recall seeing any type of strange arms or legs or anything like that. He said, I do know that she had regular arms and hands, because when she approached us, she got her two fingers, like that index finger and the middle finger, and was tapping on the top of her wrist like she wanted to know what time it was. It is a strange story, and it seems like there are quite a few that come from this part of the world. I have heard, and I'm sure that a lot of you have heard about, for example, the giant of Kandahar. If you haven't heard of that story, I mean, you have to go and check it out. I'm pretty sure that there are recordings of this, of maybe the individual who was there, who witnessed this, talking about what happened, what they witnessed there in Kandahar, and how many people this giant slaughtered out there, and how they actually were able to pick up that giant. Okay, I guess they put it on some, after they killed it, on they put it on some kind of huge pallet, and they lifted it. I don't know if it was by a helicopter or by a fixed-wing aircraft, but apparently they were able to use external load lift, lift this thing, and take it somewhere. Where they took it, no one knows. And also because people who witnessed this were told never to say anything about this. You are not to mention this, that this ever happened, okay? So we have to look at this as theory, because there is no proof. Even though, depending how you feel about it, you know, you may believe it, you might think it's hoo-ha. But depending on how you feel about this, makes it either theory or something that is a probability, something that probably really did happen to you, okay? It's for the individual to decide. Now, if we have spoke before, just recently, about the Nephilim, okay? So if you're familiar with that, with the Nephilim, then it won't be such a stretch for you to perhaps believe that this is a real possibility, that this giant of Kandahar is a true story. I mean, for me, once again, I mean, we can't take everything and run with it. Even though we believe it's a possibility, we still can't just swallow that bait, hook, line, and sinker, and run with it and say, oh, yes, this really happened, and blah, blah, blah. We still have to be careful. I would say that 70%, okay, I believe this actually happened, 70%. But I wasn't there. I don't have any, I mean, there is really nothing. There is no solid evidence. But we do know about Nephilim. And it's not only that there are giants. There are other things also that would indicate an actual Nephilim in our timeline. We may get into some of that and discuss that in the future. But that is a very interesting story, no matter what. And then the other thing that caught my attention about when I first heard about it, okay, was that this thing, this giant of Kandahar, was said to have red hair. Now, that has always been one of the things that were described when people were talking about these creatures, about the Nephilim. Red hair, double rows of teeth, six toes, six fingers, things like that. That's one of the reasons, actually, why when you put your hand up like to wave at someone, that's actually, it's said that that's how it got started. You would hold up a hand so that people could see that you only had five fingers, therefore letting them know that you were a human. You were not a Nephilim. Now, I know that every so often there are people who are born with an extra finger, an extra toe. I'm not saying that they're a Nephilim, okay? We know that things like this happen, but back in ancient times, it was a whole different story. And I have been told by many different people, as well as reading about this, that that is how it got started. You hold up your hand. Everybody saw you had five fingers. Okay, you're a human. And while everything like this, okay, once again, we have to say it as theory. When you start really looking into things, you start reading, you start going down that trail, start going down that path, you realize that so many of the pieces just seem to fall into place when it comes to these things. Okay, I got to tell you guys something, though. That turkey tracks thing, to me, would be the thing that freaked me out the most of the whole deal. It's something about that just freaks me out about this story. Don't ask me why. It just kind of like is the cherry on top of the whipped cream, whatever. Like, okay, that just is yuck. Anyways, that is pretty much all that I've got for today. Now, I don't seem to have a really busy day tomorrow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to come on tomorrow, okay? I'm going to read up on some things that seemed interesting, and I'm going to try to come on and share those with you. But anyways, I want to thank you, as always, for coming on these walks with me and for joining in on these walks, okay? I couldn't do this by myself. I don't want to walk alone, and I don't want to see these things and read about them, experience some of them without being able to share them. And so I appreciate each one of you and want to thank you all again. Please, you can always contact me, maybe_Maria@outlook.com, and we'll be walking and talking again soon as possible. Have a great rest of your day. Ciao.